Hello and welcome to the Grind Hours Podcast. My name is Joe Leo. I want to start this podcast off. We're recording this on October 14th, coming out on October 15th. I'm in New Rochelle. So I want to talk about something that I really didn't want to talk about and truly don't want to talk about, but I think I have to, and it pertains to the Brooklyn Nets. And it pertains to the point guard of the Brooklyn Nets. Friends of the show, people that I've had on the show, have texted me and go, "What's up with your point guard?" And I don't really know what that Instagram Live that Kyrie Irving did was. I don't understand what he was going for. I don't understand why he did it in the middle of the night. I don't understand why he didn't go to the Players Tribune. I don't understand why he didn't get someone who he trusts to not twist his words to interview him. I don't know why he went on Instagram Live and just rambled for an extended period of time. But what I do know is he doesn't seem like he knows what he's talking about. He doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing. If you're the voice for the voiceless, then take a stance. Use your voice to be a voice for those who have lost their jobs to the mandate. And let me get something clear here. He's not losing his job. He's not going to get fired from the Nets. He's not getting released from the Nets because he can't or doesn't want to get vaccinated. He's not being released. He still has a job. It's just waiting for him. It would be different if the Nets were like, get this vaccine or lose your job. Then I would say, okay, you have some sand to ground on. You have something to fight for, but you're not losing your job. You're choosing not to be at your job. You're choosing to lose a position that millions of people would want to be. They would want to be the point guard of a championship caliber team. And you're choosing not to be it because you're taking a stance that you're not really standing for. I understand when he didn't want to be on the Nets and he wanted to use his voice for social justice, and instead of playing a game, go into a Zoom call with the soon-to-be district attorney of New York State. I understand that. I may not agree with the way that you do it. You could do it on your off day. But I understand that. And I, to a certain extent, back that. If you really feel strongly about that, then do that. But then don't show up to your sister's birthday party, or at least let the public see that you've shown up to your sister's birthday party a few hours later. And I've said this about Kyrie since he's gotten on the Nets and since I've had to witness his actions on a semi-daily basis. He seems like he wants to be a public person, but he doesn't want what's attached to being a public person. He doesn't want the rest of the baggage that comes along with it. There are people who go to your games who pay your salary. I've gone to a couple of games when Kyrie's been on the roster. I haven't seen him play once. I want to see him play because he's one of the most talented point guards to ever play. Not just in the league right now, to have ever played. Yes, there are more established and achieved point guards than Kyrie, but not more talented. What he can do with the basketball in his hands, it's wizardry. It's magical. It doesn't happen. He's extremely gifted. And I'm more saddened not because I want to see him play. I'm more saddened because he's ruining a talent that if I had that talent, I wouldn't want to ruin. And I think that's a part of this that not a lot of people are expressing. They're turning it into politics, to anti-vax versus vax, pro-vax. I don't I don't want to lose listeners on this. I don't want people saying, "Oh, you're just anti-vax." He's ruining a talent that 99% of people, if given the chance, would not ruin the talent. I don't understand his viewpoint. It's not the Nets saying, get the COVID vaccine or don't play. It's not the NBA saying, don't get the vaccine or don't play. It's New York State. And at some point, you have to comply with the law. It's the law. That's, you need to get a driver's permit before you get your license. So you know, so the society knows that you can drive. You need to get vaccines to go to school to keep other people safe. There's even limits to how much money you can take out at one time. So, this is a societal issue. It is for the betterment of society. It's not for, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm really, really confused as to why he's taking this stance. If he was a nurse or a doctor that got fired because they didn't want to get the vaccine, sure, I can at least listen to it and respect it. I might not agree with it, but I can listen to the viewpoint. He's standing on ground that isn't there. He's not losing his job. No one's prohibiting him from playing basketball. Heck, if the Knicks traded him, he could play basketball in every other state but California. So maybe that's what he's trying to do here. Maybe he is trying to push the Nets and saying, I don't want to play for you anymore. But I don't want to put words in his mouth, because if I put words in his mouth, then I'm playing into the narrative that he's arguing against in the first place. And one last thing on Kyrie. He said he doesn't know why his name's in a lot of people's mouths. Because you just get up and go someplace the moment you feel like it and don't want repercussions from it. If you don't show up to your job, there's going to be repercussions. And you might not think they're fair, but they're repercussions. That's how the world works. I just don't understand. And it's not like this is the first time it's happened. This is, and it's not like it's the first time that he's went back on his word either. So if you're not a trustworthy person and you do these things, people are going to have certain perceptions of you and say certain things of you. And if this wasn't the case, the Nets wouldn't take this stance. If they backed Kyrie, they would just let Kyrie do what he wants to do. But they don't back him. They said, don't come play our games. Don't be a distraction. We don't want this for our team, because this isn't who we are. We don't want this distraction. We can go win a championship here. We don't want you to hold us back. And that's what I think he's doing. He's holding this team back. If he wants to do what he says he wants to do, to go out on the floor, compete with his teammates, compete for a championship, just get the vaccine. It's not that deep. Just get the vaccine. Do the research. I was a contact tracer. Kyrie, I can show you the research. Not just from New York State, from the CDC, from the World Health Organization. I can show you the research. I've been going way too long. We need to get to the intro. We're almost 10 minutes in. We'll get to the candy shop. So just sit back and enjoy the show.
This should be played at high volume.
You're listening to the Grind Hours Podcast.
You can either have the money and a hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both.
All right, joining me on the line is my former betting Bulldogs partner, former sports director at WBCR, Jose Roden. Now, you've got way too many jobs. You work for too many people. You're doing too much. I mean, I respect it, but you're doing too much.
I agree.
To give you one title, I'll just say writer, Jose Roden.
Let's go with that.
It's been a while since you've been on the pod. You're a busy man to track down. I feel like all of my friends from BCR are busy people to track down nowadays, but it is what it is. Getting in the swing of this podcast, the reason why I have you on today is in light of Betting Bulldogs. We're rekindling the magic. Instead of doing this on a Thursday morning, well, it still kind of is morning. So we're still, it's still the Betting Bulldogs. We're still
using Thursday.
It is Thursday, and it is still in the late morning. So we're rekindling the magic. We're just not in the same room. We're not BCR, but we're still using fake money, and we're still looking at NBA over-unders. We have three apiece. Roden, since you're the guest, we'll dive right into it. Give me no particular order, but just give me your first over-under of the year that you're taking.
I'll go on the order that I picked them, but New Orleans Pelicans under 39.5. I think this is mainly because Zion Williams is questionable for the start of the season, and no one really knows much about his injury. It took till the Pelicans news media day to find out that he had foot surgery. Now we're finding out he's not running, and they're waiting for scans for like 2 days. They've been waiting for scans. It doesn't sound good. If that trend continues and he misses like a month, he's a big part of why the Pelicans will win games. Him and Brandon Ingram are kind of together. And then behind that, like, I like Jonas Valanciunas, but he's not getting you to 40 wins. So, plus they're in the West, they're going to end the season with probably under 35 wins, 39 wins. So, there you go.
One team that I will take the under on, it's the only under on the board that I have for these three, is Utah Jazz under 52.5. You can crucify me all you want, Jazz fans. I'll add you to the list of NBA fans that hate me. You'll be welcomed with the Pacer fans. I don't see it. I Gobert, yeah, he's a good player, but I think the league's figured him out. I like Mike Conley, but not that much. I don't think you can have Jordan Clarkson, once he gets paid again, to do what he did last year. I just, the sum of their parts, I think last year was the height of it. I don't see how they get better. I don't see how this team at the end of the year is one of the best teams in the West. I just don't. I think the Lakers are a lot better. I think if the Warriors are healthy, they're a lot better. I think the Nuggets, if healthy, are a lot better. I don't see how, and especially the teams at the bottom that are sneaky good, but will just get pounded by LA, by both LA teams, by the Warriors, and by the Nuggets. I don't see how this Jazz team gets over 52 wins. Give me your second one.
I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets over 37.5.
I love the Charlotte Hornets
last year, they were on pace to be like the fourth seed, and then
LaMelo got hurt.
They got hit by injuries. Who else got hurt? Oh, why am I forgetting?
Is it Hayward?
Gordon Hayward got hurt. So the two best players on your team got hurt. I think adding Kelly Oubre, having hopefully a healthy Ball and Hayward's season, they're going to pick up right where they left off. I think that they are going to be in an odd position where they're not in the Eastern elite, but they start breaking into it and make a decent playoff run. I think they're a playoff team.
They remind me a lot of last year's Hawks, where
yeah
we could sit here come June and go, how do we not think the Hornets are going to be this good?
Yep.
Because, but it also has the makings of, you know, a season like Booker's second season in the league, like Trey's second season in the league, where LaMelo is just a really good player on a really bad team. Like, I could see both ends of the equation, but I'm more leaning towards they're going to be the Hawks from last year.
I think the difference is Gordon Hayward. Because Gordon Hayward, when he was playing last year, that team was the fourth.
He's going to regress a little bit. He's going to regress a little bit. He's an old guy, and he's not too far removed from his leg snapping in half. My next one is, this is just straight a pop bet. I have Spurs over 28.5. They had a very interesting offseason. I like a lot of their pieces, even though they didn't retain DeMar DeRozan. I can't see Pop having that bad of a year. I'm sorry. I still think this team wins like 35 games. They hover around 500. I can't see them that bad. I can't. It's just because Pop's too good of a head coach.
And they've added talent. Like, Primo has looked good in the preseason, so that's cool. But yeah.
I mean, Collins, if healthy, he has never stayed healthy in the NBA, but if healthy, he's a good player.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, is like he was what, 11th or 13th overall a couple years in the draft ago. And when he was on Gonzaga, he looked really good. He just couldn't stay healthy in the NBA. Him healthy is a good sleeper pick.
No, I love DeJounte Murray. Thad Young's still good. Doug McDermott could look great for a week.
Yeah.
Forbes is okay. Lonnie Walker is sneaky good.
Yeah.
So they have some guys on that roster that is just like, Derek White seems like DeJounte Murray 2.0. They have Al-Farouq Aminu, so they have the perfect mix of young guys and established vets, where they're going to be a fun team to put on League Pass on a Tuesday in February.
But, you know, it's cool. It's fun. It's exciting.
Speaking of exciting, who's your third team?
Okay. I think I might need to change it.
Okay.
I was gonna go under 45 Clippers because the whole Kawhi thing, and they didn't really make any big moves to make the team better, but that's a good pick. I think I'm gonna go over Denver Nuggets at 47.5 because
I like both of them, actually.
I was just scrolling through it, looking through like what you picked.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that and I was like, how did I not see this before? I'm a massive Denver Nuggets fan. I like anybody who makes really cool passes, and Nikola Jokic is like the most incredible passer who's over like
eight feet tall.
He's insane. Like, I love him. I've been a Michael Porter Jr. fan since like Missouri days. Like, I love him.
I don't get the hype.
He's like if Brandon Ingram decided not to dribble. That's what he is.
If he turns out to be Brandon Ingram-esque, don't say he's Klay Thompson. He's not Klay.
No, I was going to say he doesn't dribble in that same way, but he doesn't need to because he's like 6'10".
If he turns out to be what Brandon Ingram is now, I will eat my words on Michael Porter Jr. But right now, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. My third and final pick, and it's going to make a lot of people that I know happy. Knicks over 41.5.
I have my Knicks practice jersey on.
I was already going to turn every one of these into a social video, whether that's TikTok or Twitter. I'm now for sure. That's making it, man. That's
thank you.
The
thank
first
you,
thing
thank
I'm
you.
Making. But
thank you.
I can't see how this Knicks team is 500. I can't. This team defensively is too good. I like Kemba coming back to New York and taking over the Garden yet again. Randle, as much as I didn't appreciate him thinking that he was a superstar, he's still a really, really good player. He's at the door. He's knocking on the door of being a superstar. I don't know. I like this Knicks team. I like RJ Barrett taking a bigger leap this year. I think he figured out some things towards the end of last year. Kemba, Fournier is frisky for a little bit. I don't like him as a playoff piece, but in the regular season, he's kind of like Doug McDermott, where he can catch fire for a week and he doesn't miss. And you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Evan Fournier has been dropping 18 points a game for the past 6 games and they're blowing people out.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. So this one, it just doesn't make any sense to me. This one, to me, if it's at 46.5, I question it. But 41.5,
yeah,
give me that all day. Give me that all day. Knicks over. So to recap, I have Jazz under 52.5, Spurs over 28.5, and Knicks over 41.5. Roden, you have Pelicans under
39.5. Hornets over 37.5, and Nuggets over 47.5.
Lock them in, take them to the bank, go bet them, reverse them, parlay them if you want.
My favorite one is definitely the Nuggets one. That one is definitely my favorite.
I will do the math, and when this pod goes live, I'll put it out on Twitter. I will look up if you parlayed all 6 of these, what the parlay would hit if all 6 come in.
I like our picks.
We'll take a quick break, and you're actually staying with me back after this.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
All right, to end the podcast, usually I do this solo, but we're changing things up this year. Yeah, well, you had a mix-up, but it works out. We're changing things up this week for the locks of the week. Roden has 3 picks, so I will let you give the 3 picks, and then I will give my – I have 4 this week. I've looked at the board. And I have 4. So you give your 3. I'll give my 4. Roden, floor is all yours.
Bills, given 4.5, 5.5. Honestly, the Bills are the best team in the NFL. And so who are they playing? It kind of doesn't matter because they're going to win by more than a touchdown. They're playing the Titans. They're definitely going to win by more than a touchdown just because I lack faith in the Titans defense because they give up a lot of big plays and Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are doing 3 big plays a game. So that's going to be it. Denver Broncos, they're going to be giving a 3.5 over the Raiders. The Raiders situation is a lot of big news, and I think they're not going to be in the right mindset to play really well. And Broncos have shown to beat up on teams who are struggling, like our teams, the Giants and the Jets. And I think they beat the Falcons. They beat another team that was struggling, and the Raiders are going to be struggling. The Raiders come off a week where they didn't really do much offensively. The Broncos have a good defense, so they'll be fine. And then Chargers against the Ravens, +2.5. I don't know how I feel about this. I think Derwin James will be on Lamar Jackson the whole game, just as like a spy, just to stop him from running. I think that's a great plan, but the Chargers offense is really good. And if they're not going to win the game, I think it's going to be a really, really close game, and maybe they lose by 2 or 1. But I think the Chargers are going to win straight up, because I think the Chargers are, they have the offense to kind of expose the Ravens' shortcomings in the secondary, similar like what the Raiders did a couple of weeks back.
I love that you picked the Chargers, because I'm in lockstep with you, buddy. That is my first lock of the week. Chargers +2.5. If Justin Herbert, for me now, has graduated to, if Herbert's getting points, I don't care who they're playing, I'm taking the points with Justin Herbert. I believe in Herbert. He's going to be a star. We all, just because he was a little quirky at Oregon, we all over-evaluated Herbert.
Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Josh Herbert is a top five quarterback in the NFL. Justin Herbert, who is a top five quarterback in the NFL as of right now.
Yes. Yes, he is.
There are a Mahomes, Allen, and Rodgers, and Brady in front of him, and that's it.
I have Lamar. I have Lamar ahead of Rodgers. Lamar is great.
Lamar is awesome, but Lamar is 6. Like,
Lamar is great. Well, I'm not getting into that conversation. I put all my feelings. You can listen on Wednesday's pod. I already put my feelings about Lamar out there. Next on the docket, I have the Houston Texans going into Indianapolis. Getting 10, I trust in Davis Mills. He played New England tough. They were in that game. Davis Mills gave me a heart attack in my survivor pool. But give me Houston +10. That's too many points to a bad team. So yeah. Texans +10. Next on the board, Arizona +3. Kyler Murray is also in the conversation of, if Kyler's getting points, I will live and die with Kyler Murray. Arizona, even though Chandler Jones is probably not going to play in the game because he tested positive for COVID-19, get well soon. I like this Browns team. I do. I just think this is, if the Browns win, they win it by the skin of their teeth, and it's less than a field goal. Either way, I think this game is less than a field goal. So give me Kyler and the cocaine Cardinals +3. Shout out to Bill Simmons and Peter Schrager. Last one on the board. Give me New England at home. I know I can't quit these Pats. Give me New England +3.5 against Dallas at home. Just Bill Belichick being an underdog. I know how good this Cowboy team is. I keep saying this. I'm going to sound like a broken record. Stop praising the Cowboys in October. They always come back to earth. That's who they are. They are the definition of mediocrity. Stop praising the Cowboys this early. If they're this good in December, I will shut up and I will give them the praise. But I just think that New England defense, even though it got shredded by Davis Mills, and everyone's saying, oh, this is easy pickings for Dak and that explosive offense. I don't know. There's something in my moral compass is just going crazy. So give me New England plus the 3.5. So to recap the locks of the week with special guest Jose Roden. Roden, you have Bills minus the 5.5, Chargers plus the 2.5, and
Broncos minus 3.5.
And Broncos minus 3.5. I have all dogs this week. Chargers plus 2.5, Houston plus 10, Arizona plus 3, and New England plus the 3.5. So
like all of those.
I'm looking for just full transparency. I can't believe I didn't lead with this. I got shut out last week. Fantasy picks. I was awful. Last week shook up my snow globe with picking NFL and fantasy. I couldn't get it right. I think I picked one game correctly with the spread last week. So I was all over the map. It was a horrible, horrible week. I am extremely confident in these four, more confident than I was at any point in this year. So we are getting back on track, and we are going 4-0 for the first time this week and getting the locks back on track. Because we got to get off the mat. We got to get off the mat. We just got knocked down by Mike Tyson, and we're blurry-eyed and stumbling all over the place. We got to get some smelling salts in our system and get back on track. So, Roden, there's a reason why I kept you on. I'm using you as some mojo to get me back and centered.
There you go. I'll sprinkle good luck all over this place.
I need it. All right, brother. Now is the time to tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, all that sort of good stuff.
I'm one of the NBA writer and content people for Sportscadia. It's a smallish website, Google Sports and then KEEDA, making really good NBA content. Also other stuff. There's some NFL, some wrestling, cricket, if you're into cricket, some soccer. So there's a lot of sports involved. NBA, I'm there. It's really fun. Yeah. A lot of good NBA content.
You also host a podcast there, sir.
I also host a podcast, but me and Nick have to figure out times. The Play Call podcast, Nick Williams and me, two other WBCR people. It's really fun. We dive into a lot of the crazy sports things that we come up with that like are random. We have some random unnecessary deep basketball conversations that are really fun, like if Russell Westbrook should be Draymond Green, but you know, there we go. That's a sneak peek of one of my favorite takes.
That podcast, when you guys get really deep into NBA, it's like NBA on Mars. It's just,
yeah, no, yeah,
anything goes.
That's how I like it. No, Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook should be the Lakers' Draymond Green, where he just runs around and acts really tough and grabs rebounds and passes the ball. That should be the only things he does.
We know Draymond's got like half a foot on Russ, right?
Yeah. But Russ plays bigger. But he's not playing center because you have AD. It works out when you talk about it for like 30 minutes. It makes sense.
That's why you have your podcast. Go over exactly. That. If you want to hear that take, go over to that pod. Roden, thank you so much for coming on. It's been way too long. I wish you the best with what you got going on, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, brother.
See you, man.
On this side of the coin, at the Pig J Leo on Twitter, jdatasports.blogspot.com. And of course, this podcast. If you reach this point, please like, subscribe, share this podcast with anybody who you've seen fit. Download the show. It means more to the show than you know. If you're on iTunes, please give us a review. Huge thanks for Roden for coming on. Go check out the Play Call podcast. I've been a guest on that show, so if you want to listen to my episode, go listen to my episode. But those are two of my oldest friends from the BCR days. You will not be disappointed. And with all that said, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great, great weekend. I hope you and your family are happy and healthy. And I will be talking to everyone on Tuesday. Till then, it is closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Peace.